Hello, this is Pastor Warren Hoyt, and today I want to talk to you about Chapter 5 of this great book by Dr. J. Richards called Money, Greed, and God. I've been looking at this book with you because I believe that the subject that it addresses is so important and relevant for the day in which we live. We need to understand something about economics because many of our people today are ignorant about some of the great principles that have made our country what it is today, one of them being capitalism. And so this book talks about why capitalism is the solution and not the problem. And even though I'm a pastor and not by any means an economics guy, I just found this book to be very helpful, and I want to share with you some of the main points. Of course, I can never do it justice. You really need to read the book, Money, Greed, and God by Dr. J. Richards. But what I'm trying to do here is just give you the gist, chapter by chapter. Today, we're going to continue and look at chapter 5. Each chapter deals with one of the 8 myths that Dr. Richards talks about that so many people today, especially Christians, believe. The first one was the Nirvana myth, which compares capitalism with some supposed ideal system out there that doesn't even exist. Then the second chapter was about the piety myth, the idea that your good intentions are all that really count, not real results that are positive. The third chapter dealt with the zero-sum game myth, the idea that if some win, others must lose. And then last time, we looked at the materialist myth that wealth is static and it can only change hands. So if some people have it, that must mean they're taking it from others. Chapter 5, what we're going to look at today, deals with the greed myth, that the essence of capitalism is just greed. A lot of people think this is true, that capitalism is totally about greed. And there was a movie called Wall Street, released in 1987. The main character of that movie was Gordon Gekko. And he said that in the movie openly, that it was all about greed. Turns out the man the movie was loosely based on was a real guy named Ivan Boesky. And he actually was asked to give the commencement address at Berkeley in 1986. And in that, he basically said this outright. He said, greed is good. It's healthy. It makes society go around and blah, blah, blah. Well, for a Christian person, that's kind of a non-starter. At least it should be. Jesus said that a man's life didn't consist in what he possessed. And Ephesians 5:5 actually says that greed is idolatry. It's worship of something other than God. The problem is that both fans of capitalism and bitter foes of capitalism both say a lot of times things like this, that capitalism is just about greed. But it really isn't the case. And Dr. Richards exposes that and shows that in this book. Now, in just chapter, he talks about a book that was written called The Grumbling Hive or Knaves Turned Honest. And that didn't sell too well, so the guy changed the title to The Fable of the Bees in 1714. It's a story about how a whole hive of bees ends up making out okay, even though the bees themselves are selfish and they're just working for themselves. But as they all, you know, pursue their vice of working for themselves, it seems to turn out good for the hive. And so the idea was that good can come from evil. And that was the guy's point in writing the book. And kind of the idea that, you know, we all work for ourselves. And through that, we're all evil, but something good comes out of it. Adam Smith is the guy who wrote the most famous book in the history of economics, also a couple hundred years ago. His book was titled An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. And he said something in that book. In fact, he said a lot of things, but he said something that's been quoted in every book on economics since. And maybe you've heard this quote. He said, quote, "It is not from the benevolence of the butcher, the brewer, or the baker that we expect our dinner, but from their regard to their own interests." And he went on to say that nevertheless, though the invisible hand of the market, that was his famous saying, the invisible hand of the market. He thought that there was like some kind of invisible hand behind the market making everything work. He said through the invisible hand of the market, individuals end up promoting the common good. And so, you know, that's kind of this idea of doing good so that doing evil so that good will come. I don't know if you've heard of Ayn Rand, but when I was in high school, I had to read some of her books. Ayn Rand was a famous Russian author, kind of a wacko person. She escaped the Soviet Union in 1925, and she wrote these wildly popular books about the virtue of individualism, Atlas Shrugged, and some famous books. And they were always about the same theme, doing for yourself. You should take care of yourself. And how if everybody was, about egoism, caring for themselves, that would end up building a better world. And so she believed greed was the basis for a free economy. Even one of my favorites, an economist named Milton Friedman, I believe he won the Nobel Prize. You can see him on YouTube a lot. He's a tremendous guy. He was on the old Phil Donahue show years ago. And on that, he basically said that greed was what made the world go round. But then he went on and he clarified. And he said, well, it wasn't exactly greed, but he said allowing people to pursue their self-interests was what made the world go around. And the point Richards is making is that many good people even think that that's basically the idea. Capitalism is about greed. But the question is it really? Listen to this quote from Dr. Richards. He says, every second of the day, you act in your own interest. Every time you take a bath, wash your hands, eat your fiber, take your vitamins, clock in at work, look both ways before crossing the street, crawl into bed, take a shower, pay your bills, go to the doctor, hunt for bargains, read a book, pray for God's forgiveness, you're pursuing your self-interest. And that's not just okay. In most cases, you ought to do these things. Only foggy moral pretense confuses legitimate self-interest with selfishness, unquote. So distinguishing between legitimate self-interest and selfishness, that's what he is talking about in this chapter. Jesus said we were to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Richards says what this means is, quote, I'm supposed to use my rightful concern for myself as a guide in how I treat others. And self-interest, and that's unquote, okay? And self-interest isn't just about looking out for number one at everyone else's expense. Actually, self-interest includes our families, friends, communities, co-workers, etc. Because most of our choices involve others beside ourselves. We're responsible for ourselves and one another. But think about it. We're not all responsible for everyone equally. I'm responsible for my family, you're responsible for yours, and so on. Why? Well, because we don't even know everyone's needs, and we simply can't fulfill everyone's needs. But the neat thing is that in a free market, if we all pursue our own needs and wants, it ends up that there's sort of an order to it all that emerges that vastly exceeds anyone's deliberations. Here's another quote. Capitalism doesn't need greed. At the same time, it can channel greed, which is all to the good. We should want a social order that channels proper self-interest as well as selfishness into socially desirable outcomes. Any system that requires everyone always to act selflessly is doomed to failure because it's utopian. People aren't like that. And that's the problem with socialism. It doesn't fit the human condition. It alienates people from their rightful self-interest and channels selfishness into socially destructive behavior like stealing, hoarding, and getting the government to steal for you. In contrast, capitalism is fit for real, fallen, limited human beings. In spite of their natural selfishness and rapacity, Adam Smith wrote, business people are led by an invisible hand and thus without intending it, without knowing it, advance the interest of the society. Unquote. So the point isn't that everyone should be selfish, but rather that even if people are selfish, they can't make us buy their products in a free economy. So they'll automatically look for ways to create win-win scenarios, meet their customers' desires at a fair price. And the market makes this happen. That's making the best of a bad situation and the best of a bad butcher, baker, or whatever. There's no evidence that capitalism makes people greedy. In fact, the opposite is true. America is the richest, most capitalistic country in the world, and guess what? We give more money to charity than any other country. We give more than Great Britain, Canada, or most all the other first world countries. Guess what else? Poor countries, they don't give to anybody. They can't. So nobody is saying that greed doesn't exist in America, in big corporations and all that, or that it doesn't exist anywhere else. Listen, it's ubiquitous. But it exists in poor countries just as much as it does in rich countries. And it exists in all walks of life. So the point is, look, greed can't explain capitalism any more than, quote, the universal thirst for, say, well-synchronized traffic lights. Greed is universal. Capitalism is not. I hope that point is clear. See, greed is a sin. It's idolatry. And we're all capable of falling for it, which is why Jesus warned us to beware of covetousness in Luke 12:15. But how many misers like Scrooge, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, how many misers like that have you ever met? I've never met one. In capitalist societies, such people are seen as kind of loony. Quote, that's because capitalism discourages miserliness and encourages its near opposite, enterprise, unquote. See, think about it. Capitalists assume risks with their money. They're frugal and they're careful with it because they make money with money. They have to invest it in enterprises. They have to be willing to delay gratification. They have to basically be the opposite of misers. Not only that, but listen to this quote. Right off the bat, if I'm an entrepreneur, I have to think about the wants and needs of others. I must make or acquire something desirable. Great entrepreneurs succeed by anticipating and meeting the desires of others. Unquote. Think about it. That's how it works. Entrepreneurs have to produce first, invest first, give out first, with the hope that they'll make some profit later. So in that sense, they have to work by faith. They come up with things like peanut butter, computer programs, post-it notes, cat litter, and they put them out there for people to buy. If they hit on something useful, they can become rich. I love this one story Dr. Richards includes in the book about a guy named Ed Lowe. I'd never heard of him, but he invented kitty litter. Kitty litter. Everybody's heard of kitty litter, right? I mean, it's this simple stuff, right? It's actually made from clay, and it's brilliant. This is how this worked out. This guy, Ed Lowe, he started working for his dad's business, driving a truck, delivering clay, gravel, and sawdust throughout southern Michigan. That's what his dad had a business, and that's what they delivered. And so they had this clay product, which was kind of absorbent. They noticed that. And so at first, Lowe tried to market it to farmers for chicken coops, to put underneath the chicken coops, and he had some success with that. But one day he was asked if he knew anything that a woman could use. This woman he knew, she asked him, do you know of anything I could use for the cat, you know, to go to the bathroom in? And so he thought, well, look here, you know, he gave her a 5-pound bag of this clay stuff that he was trying to sell to the chicken farmers. She took it home, she used it for the cat, and she liked it. So she came back for more. So then this guy, Ed Lowe, he said, hey, interesting idea. So he poured a bunch of stuff in 10-pound bags, and he drove to a pet shop, and he said, hey, look, I got this clay stuff that cats can go to the bathroom in. You want to buy some? And the guy said, nah, nobody will want anything like that. And he said, well, look, can I talk you into just taking these 10-pound bags and putting them on a shelf somewhere and see if anybody buys them? Can we try it? So he actually donated, you know, the 10 bags. He took the risk. See, he made these bags up and he took them to the pet shop and he left them there, not knowing if he'd get anything out of the deal. Well, As the old song says, next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The Ken folks said, Jed, move away from there. So Ed Lowe, he became a multimillionaire by this. Today, cat litter is a billion-dollar industry. But it all started because Ed Lowe saw this need and he tried to meet it and he was willing to take a risk to promote his product. And that's kind of really the essence of capitalism. Listen to this great quote. It's kind of a long one, but I thought it was really good. At the base of the capitalist system is not greed or consumption, but intuition, imagination, and creation. As Thomas Edison said, I find out what the world needs, and then I proceed to invent it. In fact, entrepreneurial capitalism requires a whole host of virtues. Before entrepreneurs can invest capital, for instance, they must accumulate it. So, unlike gluttons and hedonists, entrepreneurs set aside, rather than consume, much of their wealth. Unlike misers and cowards, however, they risk, rather than hoard, what they've saved, providing stability for those employed by their endeavors. Unlike skeptics, they have faith in their neighbors, their partners, their society, their employees, in the compensatory logic of the cosmos. Unlike the self-absorbed, they anticipate the needs of others, even needs that no one else may have imagined. Unlike the impetuous, they make disciplined choices. Unlike the automaton, they freely discover new ways of creating and combining resources to meet the needs of others. This cluster of virtues, not the vice of greed, is the essence of the entrepreneurial vocation. That is a great quote from the book. It just exposes the lie that capitalism is all about greed. No, capitalism actually promotes a lot of virtues. Often people ignore or simply don't recognize this. They focus on the market rather than on the people who make it work. It's these people and their ideas that are what, you know, produce all the wealth in this world. Without entrepreneurs, listen to this. Here's another long quote, but I got to read this and then we'll be done soon. Without entrepreneurs, very little of what we take for granted in our economy and our everyday lives would exist. J. Richard says, here in my office, the concrete forms of entrepreneurial imagination are everywhere. Paper, scissors, pens, highlighters, ink, CDs, an empty Tupperware container that held the pork loin I ate for lunch, a flat screen monitor, fonts, lamps, light bulbs, windows, drywall, speakers, a laptop computer, a wall painted in Benjamin Moore flat Chestertown buff. Behind all these visible objects lie real but less visible innovations in finance, manufacturing, and transport that I hardly comprehend. All of these things are gifts of entrepreneurs. Only the most miserly moralizer could look at this mysterious efflorescence of cooperation, competition, and creativity of entrepreneurial capitalism and see only the dead hand of greed. I don't know about you, but I think that's a terrific quote. If you just see greed, man, you're just missing it. Capitalism, entrepreneurs, those are things that are honorable, that are good. Sure, there's corrupt ones, but there are many virtues in that whole realm of business and capitalism and so forth. And it's really important that we understand the truth of this. Now, that's it for chapter 5. Next week, we'll look at myth number 6, which is called the usury myth, which is the idea that working with money is inherently immoral or that charging interest on money is always exploitive. I hope you'll tune in for that one because that's something that a lot of people, especially Christians, wonder about. Isn't it wrong to make money off of money? So tune in again next week. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you.